Your trails are happy until we talk again later here on WRCO-FM in Richland Center. We put the wraps on our morning session and bring on the news at 9, sponsored by the Phoenix Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Just a day after Donald Trump won the GOP Iowa caucuses, today is the penalty phase of his civil defamation trial in New York, stemming from a columnist's claims that he sexually attacked her in a department store dressing room in the 1990s. Last night, Donald Trump had a big win in Iowa.
Former President Trump scored a record-setting win in the Iowa caucuses.
This has been an incredible experience. The people have been, this is the third time we've won. But this is the biggest win.
Caucus scores endured life-threatening cold and dangerous driving conditions to meet in hundreds of schools, churches, and community centers across the state. His rivals finished far behind.
I want to congratulate Ron and Nikki for having a good time together. We're all having a good time together.
Ron DeSantis finished a distant second and edged out former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley. Vivek Ramaswamy is dropping out. The candidates now turn their attention to New Hampshire. I'm Norman Hall.
As for the brutally cold and severe weather in Iowa and elsewhere in the nation, it's closing schools, grounding some flights.
Meteorologist Mark Chenard of the National Weather Service says much of the Rockies, Great Plains, and Midwest are experiencing dangerous wind chills.
Minus 30, minus 40, wind chills as low as zero all the way down in the portions of Texas, Mississippi, Tennessee.
Late Monday, more than 100,000 homes and businesses were without power, mostly in Oregon. At least four people in the Portland area died. I'm Donna Water.
This morning, Qatar is slamming Israel's unwillingness to call a ceasefire in its war with Hamas, warning of the massive destruction it's causing. Qatar's prime minister saying this morning, Gaza is not there anymore. This is AP News. Now to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who's out of the hospital, though the controversy about the secrecy of all of this is still brewing. The AP's Ed Donahue with more on this.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been released from Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. Austin has been in the hospital for 2 weeks to treat complications from prostate cancer surgery. In a statement, the Pentagon says the cancer was treated early and his prognosis is excellent. This was all kept secret from senior Biden administration officials for weeks. A few days ago, President Biden was asked if he still has confidence in Austin.
I do.
The president answered yes when asked if it was a lapse in judgment. A review is underway. While Austin was at Walter Reed, the U.S. launched a series of military strikes late last week on the Iranian-backed Houthis in Yemen. Austin will be working from home as he recovers. Ed Donahue, Washington.
I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
You work hard. Making the right choice for lunch isn't hard. The Phoenix Center opens at 10 Monday through Sunday with all of your lunchtime favorites, burgers, salads, terrific appetizers, specialty sandwiches, wraps, and more. Easy in, easy out. The Phoenix Center is the perfect way to break up the day. Can't get away for lunch? Let the team at the Phoenix Center serve you a great meal tonight, including the world-famous Phoenix Center pizza. Or call ahead, 649-7469 for carryouts. From the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Today of 3 degrees, and for tonight, a low of negative 8, a few clouds and bitter cold conditions. Wednesday, 12, variable clouds and not as cold. Wednesday night, 3 degrees below zero. Thursday, 11, a 40% chance of light snow or flurries later at night. Friday, 12, flurries possible in the morning. Looks like Saturday, 12, and then 21. That sounds pretty nice for Sunday. Second Harvest Food Pickup in Boscobel is canceled today, and Added Touch Floral will open as of 10. Boscobel Bowl and Banquet will be not holding bingo today. Right now in Richland Center, it is 6 degrees below zero.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we're pleased to welcome back an old friend of the morning show, Joy Kirkpatrick, Farm Succession Outreach Specialist from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Madison Division of Extension. Joy, it's been a long time. Good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really happy to be here.
You have quite a history with WRCO. I think Ron interviewed you like one of your first days on the job, didn't he?
Yeah, I started my Richland County dairy and livestock agent. They were called agents instead of educators on September 1st, 1993. So it's been 30 years. I was on the job of like maybe 4 days when then the county fair started. So I did a live interview with Ron out at the fairgrounds. First time I'd ever done a radio interview, first time I'd ever done anything live. So, but of course, you know, Ron, he made it easy.
It worked out well, didn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. You were really thrown in with the county fair starting that soon too.
It was culture shock, right? Like all of this stuff going on all at once, but yeah.
How long were you on the job here in Richland Center?
I was in Richland County for 11 years. So in 2004, I moved to the statewide position that I have now. And so, yeah, so I've been, I was there 11 years. And then since 2004, I've been in the position I'm in now.
Okay. And your job has changed a little bit. Do you do a little bit more remote work than you used
to? Yeah, I mean, because the extension model has changed a little bit. And so for the farm management component of it, we have a smaller team. So we're trying to do more remote work. And then as we were changing, you know, the pandemic hit, and I think that people are used to doing a little bit more, and I think they, in some cases, they found that they, if they have good internet, it's easier to sit in on a webinar or watch a recording or something like that rather than having to travel into in person. We still like to do in person things, but we want to make sure that they're in those like people who are ready to do that skill development and skill building. And then I also still do one-on-one farm work with farms, especially around farm succession.
Okay. And that's one of the first things we wanted to talk about today was farm succession. You have some actual things coming up here that you'd like to maybe put out there if people want to register for those. But certified farm succession coordinator training is coming up as well. You wanted to talk about that?
Yeah. So that one, the certified farm succession coordinator training is the target audience for that one is professionals who are working with farmers and farm businesses around succession planning. So we help them give them some ideas about how to get that conversation started, sort of be that neutral facilitator sometimes that needs to happen. So we do that. We've been doing that training for professionals, I think since 2012. We used to do that in person. Actually, that is more of a national and international program. We used to travel all over the country and offer that, and now we're doing it virtually, of course. And our professionals especially, I think, appreciate not having to travel and do the hotel and that kind of stuff. So we do, usually it's like 3 Tuesdays in a row that we do that training with some homework in between. We're trying to get people, professionals who, you know, could be attorneys. We've had accountants, lenders, people who already work with farmers but want to help them. What we say is we want to help them have those conversations around succession planning and have an idea of what they want to do. So then when they are ready to do it, they maybe their time's a little more efficient with those professionals. So a lot of times we'll have people who are consultants, you know, farm consultants who want to add that to their services and different things like that. So definitely that one's we've been doing a while. We've got one coming up starting in February. So if people are interested in that, we have information about that on our website.
And that's virtual as well, I believe.
Yeah. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and goes until 4. And that's like 3 Tuesdays in a row. And we hit a lot of different things. It's very, and people like a lot of times they, if they've had an experience with virtual that hasn't been great, I think they hesitate thinking about it. But we make it really interactive, and we do activities, which you know, when you think about virtual, that may be, you think that might be hard, but we make it so that it's very interactive and conversational. And we know that all of these professionals bring real world experiences to the table. So it's not like me and my co-facilitator are doing just lecture. We really want to have some exchange and interaction with those participants.
And I think virtual presentations have improved as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's lots of things that you can do. And some of the things in between the live sessions, we have videos and activities and worksheets and things like that we ask them to do. So they're really getting a lot of things in between as well.
As you focused on this as a career, why did you feel that succession was important?
Yeah. Well, in some ways it was a little bit personal, right? When I was growing up on the farm, there was no conversation about if somebody was going to take over. When my dad passed away, somewhat suddenly, we kind of had to think about, okay, what's going to happen here? How are we going to, you know, what's my mom going to do? Who might want to take over the farm and that sort of thing? So in a lot of ways, it started out as a personal sort of thing, but I saw a lot of farm families who were having to think about that. And I really felt like that was a place that I could focus, because we did have one specialist at UW-Madison for extension. You might remember, I don't know, some people might remember Phil Harris, who was our farm law specialist. So he did a lot of work on those really technical things of taxes and business entities and how you can sort of transfer those assets. But there wasn't anybody talking about the more human side of it, right? The thinking about what are the goals. How do you change the way that you talk to each other from, and especially a lot of the work that I do is still within families, right? I do work with people who maybe have found someone outside of the family to take over the farm, but, you know, probably 85% of my work is still with families. And thinking about how do you change your relationship or conversation or from parent-child to maybe employer-employee for a while, and then hopefully as that relationship builds, it becomes a partnership, right? You can't always take all the ways that you run a family and put that against a business, and having a conversation about how do you start transferring management, and thinking about one of the topics that has become a really big issue is that inheritance piece of fair, what we call fair versus equal, right? If you have had one of your children on the farm for a lot of years and they've maybe helped you kind of build your farm or helped you just, you know, maintain it, and you have other children who are off the farm, but then you think about inheritance, what's a fair inheritance? When you think about that, what that may be, that on-farm child's maybe sacrificed to be a part of the farm.
It's difficult on both sides. You know, it's difficult for the person, the older person, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not wanting to kind of give up the reins. And then when they do, oh, they're not doing it the way I would do.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen and heard it all.
Yeah. So I call them the owner generation and the successor generation.
Okay.
Because when I would call people older generation, they typically like that. So the owner generation and the successor generation. And, you know, that also helps with the idea of if it's an unrelated person that's coming in. But, you know, there's so much about succession planning that is way more emotional than people are probably wanting to admit, or, you know, so thinking about that, there's been some research in Ireland that's been working about like that identity piece, right? Like, what am I if I'm not a farmer? So thinking about, if I'm not the one making all of those big decisions, then what's my role? And we talk about maybe that role turns into being a mentor for that next generation, right? Thinking about being able to step away and help them build those skills You know, that's not always going to work within family, because I always compare it to your parents maybe aren't the best people to teach you how to drive, you know, kind of thing. So depending on the relationship, maybe you can be a mentor to some different new farmer that you can, you know, just thinking about what is it that owner generation can do to feel like they're contributing in some sort of way. But for that generation, for that generation, they have just immersed themselves in making sure that that farm is running and doing the best that they can, that a lot of times they haven't had that opportunity to step back and think about, what if I wasn't doing this 24/7, right? So we try to have some ideas and some conversations around that too.
Yeah, I see. And then certainly decisions have to be made, but there's a lot of emotions on both sides.
Yeah,
aren't there?
Yeah. And when I don't want to put the blame, if you want to say it that way, on that owner generation all the time. When I talk about parent-child relationships and the way they communicate, a lot of people always think about, like, well, then that parent is maybe more directive and telling everybody what to do. But also, when you think about it on that successor side, the successor needs to take responsibility and make some decisions. And even if they make a decision that maybe isn't great, take the responsibility of having made that decision. So, you know, both sides of it have to really think about, how are we going to be responsible and respectful to each other?
And you wonder, too, why it is that maybe it'd be easier to mentor somebody that's not blood related. Yeah. But I'm thinking sometimes it probably is. Isn't
yeah.
It?
There is a value, a really huge value, I would call it, like, a lot of times in other areas or other industries, they call it institutional knowledge, right? You know that farm, that particular farm's idiosyncrasies, quirks, you know, that kind of thing. Like, you know that there's one field that's wet all the time until, you know, a certain date or whatever. There's a low spot, or there's certain things that, so you still want that to be transferred in a way that that next generation understands that. But then also, but with some skill development, like you said, it might be helpful to have a little bit of distance there.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about this coming up. If people are interested, there's some classes they can sign up for.
Yeah, setting aside the Certified Farm Succession Coordinator training, we also have something that's more of an audience for farmers, and that one is called Cultivating Your Farm's Future. And it is virtual as well. This is the second year in a row that we've offered this virtually. So this one is 4 weeks, and we send out, after people register, we send out some hard copy materials. So they've got the worksheets and things that we'll be going through. They have a little bit of homework of maybe watching some videos or doing some of those exercises that we send out in the mail. And then we meet for about an hour and a half for a live conversation and some lecture and things like that. So for 4 weeks in a row, we meet for an hour and a half. So while I know that a lot of people like in person more, we also have found that this particular offering being virtual, we've had people be able to attend that wouldn't normally be able to come to a meeting, either because we do some in the evening, and we also have a noontime one that we're offering, because they're working, or one person might come. We have last year we had farms who registered and they had family in Texas, like they had children in Texas and some other states, or they were just in different parts of the state. So they were all able to join and hear the same thing at the same time. And then we sometimes put them into their own breakout groups so that they could have conversations within the farm unit. So it really actually opened up some opportunities for people to be able, more people who wouldn't normally be able to join to be able to participate.
Joy, you talk about a three-step process. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. So that one, what we talk about is what we really encourage farms to do, businesses, is where are you now, right? That's the first step. So it's where are you now, where do you want to be, and then how do you get there? Where are you now is really thinking about putting together in writing a good description of your farm. I recently have started calling that sort of your elevator speech, because when you go in, when you start working with professionals, and let's say you need to have an attorney, right? Obviously, you're going to need to have an attorney at some point when you start putting together these contracts or your estate plan. They don't know your farm, right? They don't know your farm like you do. So having a good description of how your farm is running, who's a part of it, what sorts of assets are a part of it, and how those assets are owned, and then also thinking about so being able to tell them that, okay, this is what I have and this is how we're working now. And then the next step of that is, where do we want to be? Having already had some conversations with your farm partners or your family of what is it that we want to have happen? Like when we are at the end of this process, or at the bigger picture end of process, right? What is it that we want to have done, right? Do we want to make sure that the farm is still in the family name? Do we want it to still be a farm business? Are we concerned about like the capacity of being able to take care of that owner generation? So thinking about what are the goals and the vision that everybody has, and making sure that they've had that conversation, so when they go into those professionals, the goals kind of match across the, you know, like the business goal and then the goal is this. Because if you go in and you haven't had those conversations, you're spending more time that might be at an hourly rate, to be quite honest. So we're hoping that this class, if we can help you walk through especially those first two steps of where are you now, and making sure you have a framework of how do you put that all in writing, and then have had these guided conversations about where do you want to be, then you're in a much better position to have a more efficient and probably a better plan when you're able to tell those, like your accountant and an attorney, this is what we want to do. And then they can narrow down your choices or options, rather than teaching you all about a laundry list of things that you could do. They have a better idea of like, well, this particular plan would fit better for you because of this, this, and this.
At what age should you start thinking about that?
Yeah.
Is that kind of the million-dollar question?
Yeah, as soon as possible. You know, there are some people that say, you know, you need to be starting to figure out how you're going to exit as soon as you start something, right? And yeah, that in a perfect world, that would be great if you're thinking about that. And I know how, you know, a beginning farmer or a farmer, you know, farmers who are have young families, that's really hard to do because they're just trying to figure out how to get through each day and thinking about maybe expanding or, you know, making this farm work. In a perfect world, what we'd love to have is people who have kids, maybe who are still under 18. Even if you can have conversations about what their expectations, the owner generation's expectations are for them to be able to come back to the farm. I think that for some farms, they say, well, we'd really like you to have a 2 or 4 year degree, or have had some years working for someone else's for some experiences, or, you know, something maybe to, I would see like being able to say, they know what they're coming back to, right? They've had outside experiences from the farm. So then when they make that decision to come back, they know what those other options out in the world would have been, right? So that it feels like a more of a conscious choice is what we would encourage people to think about. Some farms, I've heard them say, owner generation say, if the children want to come back, they have to come back with a plan of how they're going to either make me money or save me money, right? Thinking about how are they going to work themselves back into that business. Because to be quite honest, with the farms that I work with, and maybe, you know, farms don't have to work with me, so it's kind of a self-selection. But the size of farms and the type of farms that end up coming to work with me and with Extension, they really need to think about financially, is the farm capable of doing what they might be asking it to do, right? Maybe it's doing what it needs to do for one family unit. And to be quite honest, that family unit may have some outside income coming in, right? Somebody may be working off the farm to bring some income in for family living. They may be working off the farm to have health insurance that's more affordable. There's all kinds of reasons, right? But then when you think about bringing a next generation into it, that's another family living, right? At least partial, right? You want to be able to pay that person for their work. So thinking about how does that farm change? Do they add an enterprise? Do they get bigger? Do they, what are the things that could be changed so that that next generation fits in with the labor and the management? And then also where's financial capacity for that farm to pay that person?
A lot of times you're bringing in the next generation, you're bringing in a spouse, you know, Everybody has to be on the same page.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing that is like, yeah, again, and there's this whole concept of, and it doesn't matter if it's a farm, but they talk, there's a lot of research out there about family businesses, right? How do family businesses continue generation after generation? And the research shows that a lot of them don't, right? I think that family farms may have a little bit of a better piece on that because there's so much attachment to that land and that legacy of having a family farm. But on the flip side of that, that's a lot of pressure too, right? But when you think about bringing in a spouse and maybe already have some kids, so you've got a next generation there, that's where you have to have I encourage farms to have like intentional sorts of farm business meetings, right? That's like, it's a set time. It's got an agenda. You have some ideas about what you're going to talk about, because when your kids were under 18, let's just, you know, like a typical dairy farm or family farm, the husband and wife are probably managing that farm together, and think about where those conversations happen. Maybe first thing in the morning while they're eating breakfast, maybe when they're brushing their teeth before they go to bed, maybe if they're out doing chores together, they're talking about things like those management decisions. But when you bring another adult and maybe another spouse along with that, where are you going to have those conversations where all four of you are together, or whoever needs to be a part of that? You're going to have to make those more intentional, because maybe that family's not having breakfast with you and they're probably not brushing their teeth with you at night. So how do you have those conversations so that you can talk about what are those big picture things, or what do we, you know, you talk about like, what do we need to have done in the next week? What do we need have done in the next month? But then you also have to think about, what do we want to this farm to look like in 3 years? You have to carve out time and be really intentional about it when you're bringing in new people.
I had some windshield time over the weekend, and it's certainly sad as you drive through the countryside. Saw lots of farms that were probably top of the line 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and sitting empty for whatever reason, you know, the case might be. But I guess the whole goal is to try to keep them going if you can.
Right? Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. It's like, what is it that's best for that family? And that's the thing about succession planning and probably in general farm business management, right? When you think about comparing that to maybe crops or dairy and livestock and things like that, you can give some, Extension can do research and give lots of recommendations that will be really good for a big chunk of the producers, right? Like, This is something new that would work for you, right? And you're thinking about it. Of course, they have to think about if it fits within their farm and their management. But in general, you can talk about weed control in soybeans and all kinds of things that will reach be pertinent to a lot of people. With farm succession, especially in farm business management decisions, it's really unique to that farm, right? Because I grew up, I'm the youngest of seven. That's very different for somebody who only has two children, right? And thinking about how many of those seven children want to come back. Do all of them want to come back? Well, that's a very different conversation when I grew up on an 80-acre farm. Not going to happen, right? When you think about that. So it's just really, every situation is different. You can have, in general, you can talk about business entities, you can talk about tax implications, but to really make change and help farms move forward with that succession planning, you're going to have some conversations to help them think about what is it that they want to do. And those goals and those visions are very unique to each family.
Do you deal with wills?
I don't deal with wills. We do. Luckily, we have a new outreach specialist who is an attorney. She just started back in August. Her name's Kelly Wilfert, and she's doing some work on getting out some educational materials about business entities and estate planning. So she will probably not do as much individual one-on-one work as I do. She's going to want to make sure that she does educational resources and materials that really reach a lot of people, because she can talk about wills and trusts and different sorts of estate plans and power of attorney and those sorts of things. And that can really cover for a lot of people the education that they need. And then they need to go to their own attorney and make that. So I work with Kelly on some of those things. So we talk about the importance of a will, and we talk about some of the things that you can put into a will, but we're definitely not, you know, going to be doing those for anyone.
I see. Mm-hmm. But probably important to have one, even if the succession program is, you know, the process is in the planning.
Yeah.
You know?
There are some attorneys that really, they talk about, like, if a family comes in and they haven't updated their will in a while, you know, we hear these stories, and I have worked with farms where I said, well, do you have a will? And then they bring it out and they realize that their youngest child, who is 30, wasn't even named in the will, right? Because it's that old, right? So when thinking about the last time they did a will was before all their kids had even been born. So a lot of attorneys will say, you know, you need to have sort of those stopgap sorts of risk management. So even if you don't know exactly what you're going to do with your assets as you're moving forward this plan, what if something were to happen to you right now? Is it going to where you are? Your assets going to who and how you want them to be moved? So that would be something like making sure that you have some of those sort of stopgap things in place. Power of attorney for healthcare, power of attorney for finances, right? So those pieces are both of the power of attorney pieces are, if you're not able to make decisions for yourself, you're still alive, but you can't make decisions for yourself, or you can't run the business, who's going to do that for you? So those are some things that the attorneys really like to see. Those, even if it's, you know, and it's not like those are going to be set in stone for years and years, right? But it is something that has some protection to risk while you're still putting together that longer term plan.
A lot of laws and things have changed in the last few years, haven't they?
Yeah, the taxes, people always are worried about inheritance tax or death tax or things like that. And there have been some changes to increase those limits. So thinking about those kinds of things have changed. I don't want to get into the weeds of those because those get complicated, but those have increased, right? So I will say, in general, the way the tax estate tax laws are right at this moment, and for Wisconsin state tax laws as well, for the farms, most of the farms that I work with, they rarely get to that threshold of having to worry about paying for their estate having to pay taxes. Because at this moment, it's like somewhere between 12 and 13 million per person that can be passed on through their estate. So our farms are getting bigger, but a lot of the farms I work with aren't that big, right? So thinking about that. So once we can sort of get that information out and let people know, it's like, but you still need to think about what you want to have happen and where it goes. Now, some of those rules in the law that was signed to give us those increased limits, there's a sunset in that. So people are looking at like 2025 into 2025. Some of those rules are going to go back to lower limits. We don't know what Congress will do. You know, maybe they'll change the law so that those limits are a little more permanent, you know, those higher limits are more permanent. But just knowing that, like, those are at this point at a range that are pretty generous when you think about that. There have been some changes in the way the state recovers Medicaid costs. You know, if you have to go into a nursing home, And the state needs to help you pay for that. Some of the recovery rules have changed, so people need to understand eligibility versus recovery limits. So it's, those sorts of things have changed. There have been a few changes with limited liability companies. So just keeping up on some of those things. And that's something that Kelly can really help with. And she's getting some materials out there about those sorts of things. She also has some videos on leasing. We always talk about, we really encourage people to have leases in writing. And so she's got a lot of really nice materials going out.
Good stuff. Joy Kirkpatrick joins us. We're going to be back with more in a moment about farm succession and some things that you can learn and maybe some classes you can sign up for. We'll have that next on The Morning Show.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
What do you get with a membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool, relaxing hot tub, steamy sauna, racquetball, exercise classes, exercise equipment, strength equipment, and lots of help from new friends. Hello, this is Tracy at Simon's Recreation Complex. Exercise when it works best for you. Simon's Recreation Complex exercise rooms are available to members 24/7 with a keyless entry device. Would you like to learn how to swim or learn how to swim better? We are offering classes or private lessons for adults and children. Call today, 647-8522. Visit in person or visit us online at simonsrec.com. Let Simon's Recreation Complex and Richland Center be your partner in change. Remember, you provide the commitment to fitness, and we have the means to make it happen.
Wiscote is a local, family-oriented company based in Lone Rock, Wisconsin, ready to serve your family or business with the service that defines the Wiscote mission, where quality and honesty meet. Wiscote is a one-stop solution for driveways long or short and parking lots large or small. Estimates are always free. Now is the time to call 1-800-BLACKTOP so you're on the schedule for next spring. That's 1-800-BLACKTOP. Wiscote cares as much about your asphalt and everything around it as you do. 1-800-BLACKTOP. It's the right call right now.
Gunderson Bosqueval Area Hospital and Clinics is proud to introduce family medicine physician Mark Wilkinson. With nearly 30 years of experience, Dr. Wilkinson is excited to join our growing primary care team and care for the great people who call Southwest Wisconsin home. Dr. Wilkinson looks forward to meeting new families and caring for all ages at our Bosqueval and Muscadet clinics. For an appointment with Dr. Wilkinson, call Gunderson Bosqueval today.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Joy Kirkpatrick is our guest, Farm Succession Outreach Specialist, with some good information for you today. And as we welcome you back to the morning show, some good news. Isn't it funny how life kind of goes in full circle? You're going to be back in Richland Center again, aren't
you? Yeah, I'm going to have an office space at the campus where the extension office is. So that'll be good. And, you know, like we said, we just talked about it at the beginning, I started in Richland County, and now I'm going to have an office space there. I'm not going to be there every day, but I will be there few days a month, just to have a space if I need to have a meeting or those sorts of things. So I'll be set up there.
You'll think it's 1993 all over again, won't you?
Right?
But people need to make an appointment, obviously.
Yeah,
to see
yeah. It. It's not going to be like it used to be where people could walk in, because I won't be there all the time. I don't want to disappoint people and them take the effort to get to the campus and then I'm not there, but they can give me a call. My office phone number is actually still a Madison phone number, but I have it, you know, how technology is now, I can answer that from anywhere. So I can give my office phone number if people want to make appointments. And it'll be nice.
We want to talk about another one of the upcoming classes called Navigating Your Ag Business from Stress to Success. What can you tell us about that, Joy?
Yeah, so this is a new program that we're doing this year. Again, it's virtual, but it is a mix of some online, what we call modules. So there's some things that people go self-paced. And then we have live meetings over Zoom, so that the group, like the students or the class, the participants, can meet together and meet each other, meet us, the educators and the facilitators. So again, this is something. This program is funded by what's called a USDA Farm and Ranch. Stress Assistance Network grant. So there's a lot of funding out there for farm stress, and this is some of the work that we've been doing. And it is interesting. It kind of has that same framework that I talked about with farm succession, is where are you now, where do you want to be, and how do you get there? But this class kind of is open a bit more than just farm succession, right? It's basically, we're like, what's stressing you out, and what kind of planning can we help you with to sort of address that stress? So it could be, you know, if you're thinking about a new enterprise, if you're trying to figure out how to become more profitable with the enterprise that you've got, it could be farm succession. It could be lots of different things. That it's whatever you as a farm unit decide you want to focus on for the next few months to try to make decisions or take action on to reduce your stress.
Somebody to talk to. We talk a lot about farmer stress. It's a real deal, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yeah, it is. And so this is one way to kind of put some motivation and action to something that, you know, something that's maybe kind of spinning around in your head. And we just want to take that and make that as productive as we can, right? So that we can maybe take that one stressor off your plate.
Farmers are real gamblers, aren't they?
They kind of are.
Kind of
right?
Have to be.
Yeah, kind of have to be. That's the thing. And I think that they're planners as well. But we're just trying to help them put that plan a little bit more on paper. And the other piece that this Navigating Your Ag Business can help with is a lot of people put a lot of good plans together, and then they sort of get busy. They kind of set them aside because certain things come up, you know, like there's always things that come up on the farm. Like we talked about before the show, it's like just this cold weather makes everything harder. But part of this class is the opportunity to have some of us as facilitators, me and some of my colleagues, just to check in with you every once in a while and say, so your plan was you were going to make this decision or take this action. Have you done that? So we're kind of calling it that accountability piece, that somebody from outside the farm can email or give you a call and say, just, you know, you said you were going to do this in 60 days. So where are you with that? Or have things changed that you need to change your plan a little bit? So it's just that little gentle nudge of kind of keeping on track.
Everybody has their own unique stressor, I'm sure.
Yeah, we actually, part of this particular workshop series is that we ask people to fill out a online survey. They and I are the only people that see their answers. So, but it has a lot of different sections about, you know, is labor management your stressor? Is financial component your stressor? Is it farm succession? You know, what is it? Physically, are there risks on the farm that you need to address? Like farm safety or things like that. So we actually ask them to really think about what is it that's stressing them out the most. And then we take that information along with some other activities. So it gives them a really good idea of like, oh, this is the thing that's really going to make a difference if we can address this. So it's just a more intentional way to kind of really focus on something.
The course following a three-step process, could you talk about?
Yeah, that? It's that same, where are you now? Where do you want to be? And how do you get there? So we do a lot of the same sorts of things. This one in particular, we're going to focus quite a bit more on financial analysis of the farm business. So pretty much the whole month of February, we're going to have virtual Zoom meetings where we can talk about what is it that you need to gather to do this analysis? How do you put it together? We provide some tools and some spreadsheets to help them with that. And also we have, we've partnered with the Department of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protections Farm Center. They have staff that help with that financial analysis. So any farm that wants to kind of really dig into that, they get assigned someone from the Farm Center to help them with that.
Money Habitudes?
Yeah, that one.
I had to look twice at that. Habitudes.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. That's an online assessment. So we give them a code, and they go to Money Habitudes online, and then they answer a lot of questions. And it's kind of like a personality assessment around money. So it's like, how do you feel about money? Are you a planner? Are you a saver? Are you someone who likes to enjoy spending money? You know, there's all kinds of different nuances to sort of a money personality. And for so many people, that financial component is a stressor, whether you're farming or, you know, just in general, that's a stressor. And so if you have a partner or farming partners, you know, there sometimes can be conflicts around that. So understanding each other's and everybody's personalities around or preferences around how they think about money can really help start that conversation a little bit more. And it's kind of a fun little online thing. And then we send the report out to people so that they can have that as a PDF. And they can take a look at that and have conversations with everybody in the farm about it.
Whether you're a farmer or ag-related business or whatever, it would fit a lot of people.
Yeah. It's the registrations that we've had so far. We still are. So while the first modules have already opened, so people are doing some of their homework. If people are interested in that, navigating your ag business, they can still register and they would still have time to do that. That first module before our February 2nd. Class. And we have, when we look at the registrations, we have the gamut, right? We have people who are raising cut flowers, or we have some cranberry growers, we have some beef producers, we have crop producers. We have, I don't know if they'll actually show up, but we have a farmer from Nairobi who registered, and from Cairo, Egypt. And they do white beans, tomatoes, dairy. So thinking about, the years that they've been farming, that's another question we asked when they registered. It's from 1 year to 40 years. So it's going to be a really interesting mix of people. And I think they can learn from each other.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that being a worldwide thing. I guess I was just thinking about Wisconsin.
Yeah, when it's online, people find us. And I did the math, or I actually looked online. Our live sessions are noon to 1:30 on Fridays, and it'll be about like 8 o'clock in the evening, 7 to 8 o'clock in the evening in some of those other countries. So
yeah, the time difference
there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not quite past their bedtime.
No,
yet,
I hope not. Yeah.
So the deadline is coming up for that. I mean, you can
still register. They can register for that. And they can register for Cultivating Your Farm's Future, which is the Farm Succession Workshop. We'd love to have those registrations by this Friday. And because we have materials that we need to mail out so that people have the hard copies. And then the one for the ag professionals, I think that registration is January 26th for that deadline. Because our next one starts in February.
How can people look up more about that, Joy?
Probably the best way would be to Google University of Wisconsin Extension Farm Management. And then when they get to our farm management page, there's something called programs up at the top. And if they click on that programs, there's a drop-down menu and all of the programs that we've talked about, in addition to some others, are listed there. And then you can click on those.
Okay, very well. Very pertinent information. What is the average age of a farmer? Has that changed any in the last few years?
It is, for Wisconsin, I think it's around 57. It keeps creeping up. When you look at the national average, that's a little bit older than Wisconsin. And I don't know exactly, like, I haven't delved into the data to see why, but I kind of assume that states that have a heavier livestock presence maybe are slightly younger. People who have the states that have more of a cropping presence, you can crop, you know, with the technology that's out there, you can crop a lot older, right? Those tractors do a lot of it for you these mm-hmm. days. So I think that might be the comparison, but I think it's around 57, 58.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, I thought it was maybe a little bit older than that.
Yeah. So. Don't quote me on that. I haven't looked that statistic up in a while.
Putting you on the spot a little bit. But certainly, again, never too late to start looking ahead. Never too early too.
Yeah. We always encourage people to think about, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I know that it's really easy for people, for farms. Farms really want to, like, reinvest all their profits back into the farm. But we really encourage people to think about, as you want to leave the farm, right? I'm not going to say retire because that's a dirty word for farmers. But when you're wanting to step back a little bit, if all of your assets are tied up into those farming assets, it's really hard to pull those out when you need them to be more available. So we're always encouraging people to think about planning for your later years by maybe doing some sort of investments that are outside the farm.
And it pays to check on those again if you would have to go to some sort of a facility or whatnot. You want to kind of protect those assets, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. If you have liquid assets that aren't attached to the farm, that might be what you can lean on to pay for some of that. I mean, nursing home care is so expensive that it's really hard to plan for that in any sort of really airtight way, right? You have to have some flexibility. You have to know that, you know, hope that you're not in for very long, but, you know, thinking about those, right? I think the average stay is like 3 years. And just thinking about how would you pay for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a concern for a lot of folks. And, you know, a lot of sad stories, you know, you work hard all your life, you think you have something and, mm-hmm. you know, you really don't.
Yeah.
So
yep.
That's the way it goes. We have, somebody just checked in to say that they recently read the average age was 64. I don't know if that's nationwide.
I don't know.
It might be.
Yeah, maybe.
So,
like I said, I hadn't looked at those statistics in a while. So,
sure. Anything else you'd like to add today, Joy?
The one thing I will do is I want to give out my phone number because sometimes it's easier, like if somebody wants to call me and then I can send them resources or send them links to these programs that I talked about. So I'm willing, you know, leave a message because I'm not always by the phone. It's 608-263-3485.
And be looking for you. You'll be doing some meet and greets in Richland Center sometime.
I think we'll probably be doing some in-person things. Yep.
Good. Look forward to that. It's been too long. Come back and see us again.
Great. I will.
Yeah. Joy Kirkpatrick joining us, Farm Succession Outreach Specialist, University of Wisconsin, Madison Division. If you have any questions, again, you can contact you or Google
yes.
some of these things coming up. Sounds good. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Cohasson Bus Richland Center is currently seeking applicants for full-time daily school bus routes. Starting wage is $20.50 per hour. Paid training is available along with a $1,500 sign-on bonus. It's an excellent opportunity for college students, retirees, and stay-at-home parents. You can bring your kids to work with you. If you enjoy working with children and have a positive attitude, this is an excellent career for you. To apply, call 647-4446 or stop by the Richland Center Cohasson Terminal off Highway 14 behind Center Lodge.
A lot goes into powering this community. That's why your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wants you to know we've got you. It's a pledge to make sure you're always taken care of. A pledge we honor every day. From our member service representatives to our linemen and those making sure the power you use is there when you need it. We've got you. Always.
Richland Electric is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Wagner Auto is your hometown family-owned towing service. When your vehicle needs a tow, they can handle it, no matter the size. Rely on professional 24-hour towing service with reasonable rates, all from the local towing company you can trust. Wagner Auto, 647-3443.
Hi, my name is Brittany Penfield, and I am the 4-year-old kindergarten teacher at the Ithaca School District. I, along with the other Ithaca staff, want to give a warm welcome to families interested in having their child attend Ithaca Public Schools. We will be holding our annual developmental and 4K screening event, which gives school staff an opportunity to meet future students and address any possible concerns that families may have about their child's development. To be eligible to participate in screening, children must turn 3 years old or 4 years old on or before September 1st of 2024. Our screening days will be held on Thursday, January 25th and Friday, January 26th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Ithaca Elementary School. You may register online and sign up for a screening appointment by following two links located at the Ithaca Public Schools website, ithaca.k12.wi.us. You can also find Ithaca Public Schools on Facebook. When you arrive for your child's screening appointment, you will enter through the main office doors and be directed to our screening locations. While your child is working with our school staff, parents will have the opportunity to meet with reading specialist and instructional coach, Andrea Newkirk, and receive information about community resources for young children. Each screening appointment will take approximately 1.5 hours. If you have any questions about registration or signing up for an appointment, please call Brittany Penfield, 4K teacher, at 608-585-2311, extension 513. Additional information and forms will be sent to you prior to screening. We look forward to meeting you and your family at 4K screening.
I wear a 20X American hat, a gold buckle from a rodeo. I wear a dusty old co-op cap, make my living on them old turn roads. I ride a quarter horse, my tractor's right here. I drink whiskey and I drink beer. Cowboys and plowboys, just some good old small town boys. Boats make the world go round, boys. Boy, ain't that the truth? Yeah, we got different roots. We wear different boots, but we ain't that different when the day is through. So here's to the cowboys and plowboys like me and you, just like me. Take my girl to the honky tonk, I two-step and I spin around.
I take mine to the fields of gold, hold her tight while the sun goes down. Cowboys and plowboys, just some good old small town boys.
Both make different boots, but we ain't that different when the day is through.
some George Strait.
We crank some old Hank.
From the big sky to the riverbank.
Cowboys and plowboys, just some good old small town boys. Both make the world go round, boys. Boy, ain't that the truth.